On Mondays, the Business Report examines technology. People used to say that a picture was worth 1,000 words. In the digital age, that works out to several million pixels. Digital cameras are getting smaller, better, and cheaper, as we learn from David Pogue. He's a technology writer for the New York Times.
You can get a little pocketable digital camera that takes really good pictures, not suitable for giant prints, but suitable for 4x6s for $150.
Now, you just made an interesting distinction there between whether it's suitable for giant prints or suitable for something smaller. And that's one of the challenges with digital photography, right?
Exactly. With film cameras, you take the piece of film, you make any size enlargement you want. You never think about it. But on a digital camera, the number of color dots it memorizes when you press the shutter determines how big an enlargement you can make without being able to see the individual dots. That's the so-called megapixels of a camera.
And depending on the camera you have, you may have control of that even within the camera. You can put it on different settings.
Exactly. If you have an 8-megapixel camera, you can always dial it back to 4 or 2. And you might say, well, why would you ever want to do that? And this is my own pet peeve already. My veins are standing out from my face as I talk about this. Consumers tend to think, well, megapixels means bigger prints, so I'll just buy the camera with the most megapixels I can. More megapixels also means each picture you snap is a bigger file, which means it takes longer to take another picture after the first one. It takes longer to transfer those pictures to your computer, longer to edit them, longer to email them, and so on. So megapixels is good up to a point. I happen to think that for most consumers, about 4 is the sweet spot.
There are now some digital cameras that will take a little video. There are, of course, video cameras that will take a still photo. Is there any camera, or video camera for that matter, which can do both well?
No. Every consumer has this question. Why do I have to buy 2 gadgets and pack 2 things on my trips? The details of why you can't do that are pretty technical. It turns out that both the lens and the circuitry inside the gadget are different for these 2 different purposes. So there are very few that can do both well. The one interesting thing I've seen comes from Samsung, and it's the weirdest looking gadget. It actually has 2 lens barrels stacked. 1 for videos and 1 for still pictures.
Hmm.
And it actually works.
They basically just took the 2 things and duct taped them together.
They had a little more elegance than that, but yes, that's the idea.
You mentioned one mistake that some consumers may make, which is just buying too many megapixels, more than they would really want, and in fact they would get in the way. Are there other pitfalls that people should avoid when they're deciding how to equip themselves?
Well, it's worth pointing out just a couple of trade-offs. And trade-off number one is, you can't have both size and style and great photos. So the cameras these days are unbelievably good looking. They have ones that are literally the size of a credit card and less than 1/2 inch thick. We're talking you could put 6 of them in your shirt pocket. And the pictures they take are pretty good. But you're not going to get really spectacular magazine-worthy pictures until you get into bigger and heavier. And number two is that megapixel issue. You can't have everything in a camera, both price and a high megapixel rating. There are companies, if you can believe it, that sell 5-megapixel cameras for $200. But the pictures are terrible. And you say, why? It has 5 megapixels. And the answer is there's so much more to a good digital picture, especially the lens quality and the circuitry inside. So there's a lot of factors. And the best way to shop is really to look online at these camera comparison websites like stevesdigicams.com, where these guys actually test the cameras and put up sample photos.
David Pogue, technology columnist for the New York Times. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Steve.